All right, as you come back, take your seat. Take your Bible, if you would, and make your way to the third chapter of the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 3 is our text. It's been our text for weeks on Wednesday night. And I think it's going to be our text for at least one more week, maybe two, as it's just a precious chapter. And that's the word I use to describe it, as the Apostle Paul is communicating to the church at Thessalonica. He's communicating with just tremendous love and desire and concern. The things that he is communicating to them that they are enduring and suffering are some of the same things that God's people endures and suffers today. The truths that he has given to them are as applicable today as they were back then. Last week, we made our way to verse number 11. And we said that verse number 11 was the beginning of a concluding prayer for the chapter. We said that the prayer that the Apostle Paul was praying began with a prayer about himself. And then verses 12 and 13, it was a prayer for the church. And so last week we looked at verse number 11. And the Apostle Paul had talked about how he was asking God, our Lord Jesus Christ, to direct his way. And I preached to you on the subject of praying for God's direction in our life. Had many folks reach out and say how that was a message that was timely for them and one that God used in their life. And we talked about what praying for God's direction in our life looked like. We also talked about what the blessing that is in our lives and how we live our lives and how it is a joy for a Christian to live that way. It brings confidence to our life. We talked about how it demands submission and trust on our part, but it also enables us to endure not getting our own way. Sometimes when plans don't work out or things don't work out, they take longer or they do not develop as we think they would. What a wonderful thing it is to say, well, I've asked God to direct my way and he is doing it. And to live that way with a wonderful security. And so I trust that that's a theme and a motive of your life. When we move into verse number 12, which will be our text tonight, the Apostle Paul changes gears and he says a short little prayer here that I think is inspired by God in the writing of this book. And it's interesting what he says. It's interesting where it is said. It's interesting when you understand the text. And I think it's very fitting for us and very helpful. Verse number 12, his prayer for them was, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in," say the word, "love, one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you." And I was thinking about the Apostle Paul and his prayer, and the conclusion of this prayer, and the fact that the Apostle Paul is asking and praying that God would further in this church the ability to love. And I wanted to preach to you tonight a message or a devotional really entitled, "Just Love People." This is the Apostle Paul's conclusion to his encouragement to the church. And those of you that have been with me, you understand the setting. You understand that this is a church that is going through some difficulty. This is a church that is enduring persecution. This is a church that is enduring some divisiveness. This is a church that is enduring some attack. This is a church that is having some interrelational struggles. They're facing afflictions that are coming from without. They're facing attacks that are coming from within. And when the Apostle Paul boils down his encouragement to them, and he prays for them and his instruction to this church that is going through difficult time, he just tells them, keep loving people. Really and truthfully, if you were to analyze the church, people were the problem. And Paul says to them, with his mindset and his understanding, I'm wanting to encourage you, church, in your difficult moment. And when I say the church, I'm talking to those believers that had a heart for God. I'm talking about those believers that are mentioned in verse number 6. These were the ones that had not been fallen prey to the temptation of the enemy. These were ones that had faith and charity in verse number 6. These were the ones that Timothy came back and gave the great report of how their faith was strong. These were the ones that were able to comfort the Apostle Paul. And so he's telling the Wednesday night Bible class, because you're the best Christians in our church. Yeah, you've said amen to that, didn't you? He's telling you, and he's telling me, no matter how hard things get inside a church, no matter how difficult moments are with people in the church or people outside of the church, one of the strongest things that we can do to be unified and to be effective in this moment and to be encouraged is keep loving people. No matter what, keep loving people. I don't know about you, but I have found out that some people are easier to love than others. Right? And Paul is not just giving out words. Matter of the fact, it sounds simple. It sounds almost trite. It sounds too easy, but in reality, what he's asking them to do is a very difficult thing, to love people. And really and truthfully, in Paul's heart and mind, Paul is telling the church, you're going to survive this, and you're going to know the victory through this as you win them by love. Paul knew personally the power and the effectiveness of God's people showing love. He knew that this ability to overcome hate. He knew this ability through God's people showing the love of God for the ability to puncture deep into the spiritual heart and mind of a person. He had experienced it himself, and I would like to show you his experience so I can make my 4 points here, 5 points. Hold your hand here. Go to Acts chapter 7. Please turn there with me. Please read. I think for the type of night that we've had tonight in our prayer requests, very fitting lesson for where we find ourselves. Pick yourself up in Acts chapter 7. Look, if you would, at verse number 54. In verse 54, a man named Stephen is preaching a message. You know Stephen. You met him in Acts chapter 6, a godly man. Look, if you would, at verse number 54. This is the response to his message. When they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice, stopped their ears, and ran upon him with a Honda Accord. Verse 58, and they cast him out of the city, and they stoned him. Now watch this. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was, you know him to be the Apostle Paul. Keep reading. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and he cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Chapter 8, verse number 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death. Whose death? Stephen's death. Saul had probably witnessed many deaths. He had never witnessed a death like Stephen. Come, if you would, to chapter 22 of the book of Acts. And let me show you how his death stayed with him. When the Apostle Paul is recounting in his testimony here in Acts chapter 22, look, if you would, at verse number 19. The Apostle Paul says, And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. The Apostle Paul never could forget the death of Stephen. And when you read the impact it had on his life, I don't think that the Apostle Paul had ever witnessed that type of love and forgiveness from a man that he had stoned. He had never experienced somebody with that type of heart. Lay not this sin to their charge. I'm sure he had been called all kinds of things and accused of all kinds of things. And I really and personally believe that as Saul was recounting the death of Stephen and in hearing the words of Stephen, I think that the love that Stephen had for the Lord and the love that Stephen showed of the Lord really was used to melt the Apostle Paul's heart when he met the Lord Jesus on that Damascus road. And so the Apostle Paul had already himself been won, W-O-N, by love. He knew the power of love. He knew that, especially the power of the love of God as it was shed abroad in people's hearts. And so when you come back to 1 Thessalonians chapter number 3, and he's writing to a church that is undergoing severe persecution, and he's wanting to keep them unified, and he's wanting to keep them effective, and he's wanting to keep them in a position where they're encouraged, he tells them, no matter what, keep loving people. And so I would bring that to your attention tonight. And I would tell us as a church, and I would tell us as individuals, that this must be a reality and a practice of our lives. Loving people. Pastor, it's been my experience that people are hard to love. Welcome to the world. Pastor, you don't know what they have done to me. It's very difficult for me to love these type of people. It's very difficult for me to be in this type of moment. Pastor, it's just not humanly possible for me to love a certain person. Well, what the Apostle Paul here is asking the church to do is not to love with human love. He's asking them to love with God's love. By the way, God's love is very different than human love. Okay? So, in your mind now, I have 9 minutes. Work with me. You got a church being persecuted and attacked everywhere. You've got honest people that are looking for footing. Honest people that are walking with the Lord. And the Apostle Paul's response to them is, listen, no matter what's going on, no matter what they're doing outside, no matter what they're doing inside, no matter what they do to you, keep loving people. The power of that love has the ability to win and has the ability to bring victory and has the ability to bring salvation to that. I think this is very fitting for our lives. This is very fitting for a request tonight from a Jackie Furman. So, Pastor, my character is being attacked, right? So as a believer, keep loving people. Pastor, I've been hurt by somebody. Keep loving people. Pastor, when I go through doing, keep loving. God's people ought to be known as people lovers. Okay? It's very easy to crawl into a shell and not operate this way. What type of love am I talking about? Now watch, follow the apostle's mindset here. He's trying to bring unity and peace to these people. So when you look at this word love, it's the word agape. It's God's love. Let me give you some description of this and see if you can't tell by the description how the exercise or the increase or the excelling or the abounding of this love has the ability to make headway in the situation. First off, this type of love that he's asking him to do is a love that seeks the well-being of others. God's love is always about others first and not us. It's not a selfish desire, right? So Paul's telling them, keep loving people. So he's trying to bring unity to this church. He's trying to bring encouragement there. And so immediately, if that vision turns inward and I care about myself first to the separation of them, immediately I'm gonna move into a selfish position, and all that is gonna do is cause division. So church, I'm asking God to increase you and to let you abound in a love that seeks the well-being of others first. If you put others first, you don't normally fight. Right? That ends the fight. So if Matt and I have a disagreement and I simply don't care about me, and all I want is for him to be satisfied and for him to be enriched and for him to be put first. So once my will is submitted, then his being is exalted, the fight's over. Only by pride cometh contention. Right? So here's Paul. He's got a group of believers. He's got pride everywhere. He's got contention everywhere. He's got struggle everywhere. Keep loving people. Keep putting others first, their well-being first, their priorities first, them and their desires above your desires. The second part, or another description of this, is this type of love is not a respecter of persons. It's not one that devalues based on a judgmental perception there. This type of love is one that has the ability to endure injuries. When you think about the love of God, which agape love is, and Paul's wanting you to increase and abound in this type of love, then that type of love has the ability to endure injury. It follows up with this thought. It seeks no ill will. So as soon as one party stops seeking ill will, the fight's over. Right? The fight's over. Peace. Well, Pastor, the other party is going to continue to push. Yeah, but if I just give that over to the Lord and I in turn heap coals of fire upon their head by loving them, immediately the enemy has nowhere to go. By the way, when the love of God is reigning supreme inside your life, the enemy has nowhere to go with your mind. He has nowhere to go with your emotion. He has nowhere to go with your frustration. He cannot work up that flesh because it's not about me. It's about others first. So Paul's trying in a very powerful way, just saying, just keep loving people, but you don't know what they're doing to me. Keep loving them. Do not put yourself above them. Exalt them above yourself. Do not seek ill will toward them. Sacrifice and put yourself in that position. And just keep showing the love of God. I hope there's a certain thought that's coming to your mind. And I'm hoping in 2 minutes to read your mind. They taught us that in Bible college. No, they didn't. This type of love is marvelously kind. And awesomely forgiving. Kindness and forgiving. So Paul's looking at all this anxiety that is in this church, all of this aggravation that is in this church, all of this unforgiveness that is there, all of these things. And he's saying, listen, the way that we're going to beat this is we're going to love people. We're going to love people. And in putting them first, not seeking an ill will toward them, not being a respecter of person, enduring the injury, not and being marvelous kind and marvelously forgiving. All right. So here I go. I'm getting ready to show you the card that I pulled out of your deck like the magician. I'm getting ready to read your mind. Here it comes. Pastor, that is impossible. Did I read anybody's mind out there? Would you at least let me say, give me one amen on that? It's impossible. Right. So let's see what makes it possible. Go, if you would, please, to verse number 12. And the Lord, what are those two words? Make you. This is not something you can make yourself do. This is where it gets complex, and this is where it gets wonderfully simple. Pastor, I have tried to love those people. I have tried to love this person. I have tried. Right. You and I, in and of ourselves, do not have the ability to love people the way that God wants us to love people. This has to be something that God enables me to do. Now, here's the deal. Nobody likes to be made to do something. So if the Lord is going to make me do this, then in some aspect of my life, I've got to be open and surrendered to God doing this in my life. And this is what Paul is saying here. Paul is saying, church, if you will deal with yourself and you will allow God to increase you in your love as your understanding and then excel and abound in doing that love, if you will let God enable you, then you will have the ability to love people. And if you continue loving people, you will find that God then is able to do a wonderful work in and through you. He's able to quench ill-spiritedness. He's able to protect innocent and righteousness. He's able to move in some way. But we get so fired up over injustice. We get so fired up over mistreatment. We get so fired up and frustrated. Well, I tried. But this type of love is something that God has to do in us. And if you're not open to God doing this and you don't allow the Lord to do this, you're going to just know frustration when it comes to people. This is not a normal love. This is God's love. And just because you're a Christian doesn't mean you always operate in God's love. It doesn't just happen. The flesh has to be dealt with. Self has to be dealt with. There has to be the emptying of that. And then there has to be the willingness for God. So the prayer goes like this. Lord, I cannot love those people, but I know you can. And Lord, you got to help me love people. You got to give me a love for those people. Lord, I need to increase and abound in that love toward them. And I know it. And there's going to be no peace in me without it. And so, God, you have to help me do this. Now, here's the kicker. Whatever God makes, he always tests. Whatever God makes, he always tests. So, Pastor, I do. I want to love people. Well, God's going to give you an opportunity to love people, and the people he's going to give you an opportunity to love are not going to be easy. Right? So, Pastor, I find that I keep running into the same failure when it comes to loving people, and I keep running into the same. I keep failing the same test. God will let you run into that same test over and over and over and over again, and He will not pass you until you pass that test. And so the Apostle Paul is talking to people like us, and he's saying, "Listen, when you run into moments of difficulty, just keep loving people. Keep loving people, and loving people forces you to deal with yourself." And most of the time, it's my stinking pride that causes contention in the relationships around me. And as I deal with myself and I say, okay, God, I got to empty myself. You've got to enable me to love like You would love. I can't do this, but if You'll do it in me, I'll let you do it. And you will find that as you move forward in that, then God begins to do a work in you, and then God begins to do a work through you. And the frustration part where you're frustrated with yourself and you're frustrated with that just goes away. And then those people that have control over you because you have thoughts about them, or you think they've said something, or they've mistreated you, or you feel like they're holding, all that goes away when you begin to respond to them with the love of God. Because the love of God sees past all that, sees to their soul. The love of God moves in our hearts to help us to know forgiveness. It's a different perspective in people. I'm telling you from the Word of God that there is power in loving people. Keep loving people. You will find that God will use you in a wonderful and powerful way. Great little lesson when you put it into the aspect of what this church was going through and who he was writing to. All right, let's have our prayer. We'll be done.